So our last case for argument is Mungango v. Gonzalez. Ms. Jean-Simon, or Jean-Simon, whatever you pronounce.
Jean-Simon, preferably. Good morning. My name is Farah Michelle Jean-Simon on behalf of the petitioner Martina Mungango. If it may please the court, the issue before the court today is whether the Board of Immigration Appeals abused its discretion when it refused to reopen Mrs. Mungango's removal proceedings to allow her to reapply for asylum. Her motion to reopen was filed on July 15, 2005, pursuant to 8 CFR 3.2C and 3.23B3. And she provided, at that time, she provided new evidence and facts that showed that she was eligible for a motion to reopen.
Can I just ask you a couple things?
Sure.
Mrs. Mungango included in her husband's currently pending application for asylum?
The application is pending right now. Right. Unfortunately, they would not allow her to reapply. They returned her application because her case had not been reopened.
Okay.
So we were seeking reopen so that she could be joined in the application.
So she's not included in his application?
Currently, no. We attempted to include her, but
that was rejected.
Her application was rejected, but the application for Mr. Mungango and the children, Sylvia and Ronald, are still pending right now.
Okay.
They're waiting into.
And then one other thing, the doctor's note indicates that Mr. Mungango was diagnosed with HIV in 2000.
That is correct.
Is there a reason that was not presented to the board before the motion for reconsideration was filed?
Well, actually, it was presented in the, if you look at the administrative record, page 181 and 183, there are two doctor's notes. It was presented, it was filed as part of the evidence to support her motion to reopen. It was not explicitly stated in the actual motion. At the time, Mr. Mungango was reluctant to reveal his HIV status to us as his attorneys, and this is the reason why he's seeking asylum right now. Because of the stigma attached to HIV status, he was even afraid to tell us about his medical condition.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. So,
loses this case, can she then reapply?
If this case is eventually reopened, then she could be joining her husband's application.
Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. So we submitted other evidence, including her children's school records, her various diplomas, and evidence of her employment history in the United States. But the main focus here right now, that where she is eligible for relief, is if she's allowed to apply for asylum at this point. The Immigration Services has recognized that HIV positive individuals are a recognizable status group in terms of asylum, and this is what we're seeking right now for her to be allowed to be joined in her husband's application.
And I may have misunderstood you earlier. She attempted to do this, did she, and was refused?
Yeah, she did attempt to reapply because she has an already pending removal order against her.
She attempted to reapply herself.
Correct. Well, right. Actually, as a derivative of her husband's application.
Yes, and that was refused.
It was refused, correct.
And you're trying again.
We're trying again, correct.
Was any reason given for the refusal?
They would not allow her to refile again unless her removal proceedings were reopened. So this is what we're seeking right now from the board, to reopen the removal proceedings.
But I'm confused now, because I thought you said that if she loses this case, this effort to reopen, she still can
go back.
Apply under his asylum application.
Oh, I may have misstated. If she loses this case here, then she will not be allowed to reapply.
She has no remedy at all left?
No other remedy other than this current application, correct.
So then she can't be joined in a derivative capacity in his...
She cannot unless
she wins here.
Unless she wins here. And because of Mr. Mungango's health status, has not been able to work over the last several years, and Mrs. Mungango has been the sole financial provider for the family. And even if she loses here and she's forced to return, even though she still has a stay granted from the Department of Homeland Security right now, but eventually if they decide to not to extend her stay, she'll be forced to return to Tanzania. And her husband remained here where he cannot work, the children cannot work to support the family and pay for their...
And what would her status in Tanzania be? Could she reapply for entry to the United States?
She would be subject to a 3 or 10 year bar.
The 10 year bar?
Correct, before she could reenter into the United States.
And this Homeland Security stay, is this because this case is pending? Tell me more about that.
Well, the stay was granted in, I believe, September of 2005, before this case was filed before this court. It was granted for 1 year, and we filed for an extension, and that extension is still granting right. It's still pending right now.
And that stay was granted on what basis?
On the basis of the fact that her husband was ill, and she was the only person who was available to care for her husband. She was detained at the time pursuant to a traffic violation. So she was in DHS detention for several months before she was released and granted the stay.
And are there limitations on that kind of stay that Homeland Security, in other words, given what his condition is that something that could be extended? Are there, like, limits on that? Are there any regulations that...
Well, she was allowed to apply for an extension prior to the expiration in September of 2006. That stay is still pending. She's basically released now on an order of supervision where she's required to report to the DHS facilities every 3 or 4 months to verify her address and verify the availability of travel documents as well.
So there's no, in that current stay she's in,
There's no
expiration date. That's what I'm trying to get at.
There is an expiration date. I believe it expired, if you give me a minute to look up that order. The stay expired August 23rd, 2006. It was granted for 1 year. We have filed for an extension of that stay, mm-hmm. and that's... The extension is still pending right
now.
That's
what's pending. But what I'm saying is I'm just trying to get at whether there are regulations that limit the number of requests you can make for a stay or the basis for the stay. In other words, could this go on for many years given what his condition is? I understand you'd have to continually get it renewed, but I was just curious whether there are any...
I'm not sure what the regulations are regarding the extension, but it is still pending right now. But there's still no permanent relief from this stay application.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Simo.
Thank you.
Ms. Lightbody?
May it please the Court, my name is Jennifer Lightbody, and I'm appearing on behalf of the respondent, the Attorney General. The Board did not abuse its discretion in denying petitioner's motion to reconsider. This is because the regulation governing motions to reconsider specifically requires a movement to identify any errors of law or fact in the Board's prior decision. The petitioner failed to do that, and therefore the Board denied her motion to reconsider. Even here on review, the petitioner has failed to show any error of law, in fact, or law or fact in the board's prior to this decision. Therefore, the court should deny the petition for review. I'd like to point out that for the first time here in these proceedings, has the petitioner stated simply what relief she's seeking, and that is she's seeking to reapply for asylum. She never raised that to the board in her motion to reopen. She never raised it in her motion to reconsider. She's raising it for the first time here in these oral arguments to reapply for asylum. Her position was before that she was seeking to be a beneficiary on her husband's asylum application. Well, I spoke to DHS, and I spoke to specifically to CIS, and they indicated that while they have no information about the husband's status, whether he's out of status, the time she filed her application for asylum, her husband was still in status, and he was listed as a beneficiary. Her application, of course,
still in status.
He was properly in the United States as a student under a student visa, so he was lawfully here. He was listed as a beneficiary on her application. Her application, of course, was denied, and that issue application has been resolved. It's my understanding from speaking to CIS that they have no independent application pending for her husband at this time. His application had been denied because he was listed on her application. So there isn't, it's my understanding that there's no independent application pending. Now, I can further verify with CIS if that's true. And the reason that there may be some confusion is if you look at the asylum application, which the court did strike pursuant to our request, the husband's application, which was originally submitted with the opening brief, it doesn't list an A number. It says not applicable. But if you look at the supplemental record, the original record in this first case at page 316, handwritten in there is an A number for the petitioner's husband. And that's not listed on his asylum application that he submitted with his opening brief, which was filed in 2006. I would also point out to the court that, as Judge Williams had indicated, the petitioner knew about his health conditions back in 2000 and waited until 2005 when petitioner was stopped in a routine traffic violation to actually do anything. In the meantime, as far as seeking to apply for asylum for the husband or trying to seek to reopen these proceedings. So in other words, she was in the United States in violation of her agreement with the government to voluntarily depart. And by failing to do that, of course, now she's barred from seeking to certain forms of relief, including adjustment of status for 10 years.
Would the fact that she had that she did not voluntarily depart be a bar to her being considered derivatively on her husband's application?
I don't think that it would, Your Honor. So I want to be very careful in answering that question, since that may be the subject of litigation down the line, and I don't want to in any way inhibit DHS from asserting certain positions should this issue arise. So in other words, the husband is not in proceedings at this point, but if he is placed in proceedings for some reason and applies for asylum and she's a derivative and is no longer in the United States, DHS may have certain legal arguments to make about whether she would be permitted to come back. Ordinarily, you don't have to be present in the United States if you're a derivative to get asylum if the asylum seeker is granted asylum. In this particular case, though, she's already has an order of removal. She violated her voluntary departure agreement, and so I don't want to inhibit DHS's ability to raise those issues.
Now, she said that her lawyer said, Mrs. Johnson-Sinol said that she that her stay expired in August.
My understanding is that it has been renewed, and she is required to report in February of 2007 to DHS again. Now, I don't. they can, of course, this court has denied her stay, and DHS can revoke that stay at any time. I'm not aware that there's any numerical limit on the number of times that she can reapply for a stay, but that's entirely within the discretion of the district director whether or not to grant that stay. And I see that my time is up.
Thank you, Your Honor. So, Ms. Johnson-Moll, your time expired, but if you have something further, you'd like another minute, that would be fine. So,
First of all, regarding the asylum application that's currently pending, we attempted to file directly with the Nebraska Service Center, which is the ordinary procedure for asylum application. That entire application was rejected for the entire family. And when we contacted the Nebraska Service Center directly again, they informed us that we would need to file directly with the Chicago Asylum Office. So when it's filed with the Chicago Asylum Office, that office does not generate the ordinary receipts that will come from the Nebraska Service Center. But I do have correspondence indicating that they received our applications, and I would be more than willing to supply those copies to Ms. Lightbody after we leave here today, that correspondence. Also regarding the motion to reconsider, unfortunately, I don't have a copy with me right now, but there is indication in the motion to reconsider that was filed in November of 2005 that we were seeking the relief of reapplying for asylum based on the husband's HIV status. That was stated.
Monongo is applying for asylum, or you're applying?
Mr. Monongo will be applying. Correct.
Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel. And the court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.